let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher in the studio with Father John Wargle today. Hi, Father John.
Well, we are going to finish this very, very strange story.
Yeah, the story of Jacob, now Israel.
That's right.
Is that how you pronounce it?
He gets his name, yeah.
Gets his name from God and has the big fight.
Yeah.
Goes to the embrace, asks for a blessing.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Right? Yes.
Can't embrace God without a fight, or right? You can't do that, right?
Okay.
So now we go into some of the real deep problems of the text. I said this sometime before, Danny, that there are three things you need to look for and understand a text, right? One is the motifs. We've been going over and over and over the motifs, mm-hmm. right? And you also need to look at the structure of a story, okay, because it's literary, and form and meaning come together to help us understand the text. Very important. But something that most people don't realize, problems.
Yeah.
Problems are our friends.
Friends.
Okay.
Yeah, not to me,
but okay. We don't like problems, yeah. Okay? And often when we see them, we just sort of skip over them.
I know, that's me. You wrote this in the post, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, that is me. I'm too lazy to stick with it, you know, to keep on reading. Read it again. It doesn't make sense. Read it again. You know, figure out the problem or figure out a context or something where it makes more sense and that brings things to light. And I realize that, you know, now that we've been doing these.
Well think it's still about hard. It. You know, we're not readers anymore in our culture.
Right.
And if we are confronted with some sort of text, we expect it to be extremely clear.
Yes.
And
easy
often
read.
When I buy something and there's directions on how to put together, something
I just
that
put
was
those
originally
aside.
In Chinese, and you could tell that some AI
yes.
thing out there did it in English, and you don't. Yeah, so we don't like ambiguity at all, do we?
Right, yeah, exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And so we don't have patience with ambiguity. But if you don't have patience with ambiguity, you don't have patience with Scripture.
Right.
Because Scripture is full of intentional ambiguity. I grew up in a tradition where they claim that the Bible is our sole authority, okay?
Yes,
and right. If the Bible's our sole authority, then what they call is perspicuity of Scripture, which means, well, then it's very evident. It's clear. It's got to be clear, because God wouldn't give us something that's not clear, right?
Right. You would think.
Right. But that is so utterly naive, because part of poetry, I mean, by definition, poetry is ambiguous, because what it does, it sets in our minds all sorts of different ways of seeing things.
Sure,
you can say
sure.
so much in a little poem that you might have to write a book out in prose. You see what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
the ambiguity, that's very important.
Right. And of course, when people read it, they're going to see different images. They're going to feel different things. And then bringing all those people together that read something, you'd get a lot of different stories and a lot of different ideas about what it means.
And that's what makes great literature. And,
yeah.
Okay. And the Bible is literature. Okay. And it's full of ambiguities. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here we've got all sorts of ambiguities. Okay. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Okay, who is this man?
Yeah, we don't know yet.
We don't know who this man is. And quite frankly, wrestling with someone for 6 to 7 hours is You know, that's an interesting thing to ponder in and of itself.
Sure. Yeah, of course. You've seen things like these big fist fights and things like that, or big wrestling matches where it's 3-minute increments for a maximum of 10 to 15 rounds. You know, there's no way anybody can go longer than that.
Right.
So this is
wrestling all night.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of night is important here because it's a motif, darkness. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so, and they go to the breaking of the day. Now, when the man saw they did not prevail against Jacob, when the man saw, okay, who is this man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we don't know, but he's probably a pretty strong guy.
He's a pretty strong guy, but then he seems to be weak because he's not prevailing.
Right, not over Jacob, yeah.
Right. And so, what he does, he touches his thigh. We talked about that in the last post.
So the man touches Jacob's thigh, and something happens to Jacob. It dislocates or
Jacob's
some kind of
noodle,
pain.
He said, whoa.
Yeah.
I was doing pretty good. Right?
Until suddenly, a touch.
A touch, you know, did him in.
Yeah.
And Jacob's thigh was put out of joint, right?
Yeah. So he's got some kind of dislocation, and I know what that feels like. You get a lot of pain.
So, right.
Difficult to continue.
That's for sure. Okay. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. Okay. Now, what we have here is a theophany. Okay.
So this is an image of God. A theophany.
God,
it's a God,
God
image.
God comes into the world in a particular form. Here, it's the form of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in later Judaism, it plays down this whole idea of theophany because of its transcendent idea of God, that how could the God of the whole universe.
Ah, yes.
It was above and beyond all things and certainly beyond any image.
Yeah. Lower. How could God lower himself?
Embodied in a man.
Mm.
And so obviously they treated these texts with deep respect. Okay. But the emphasis in Judaism, which started after the second temple, okay, when they rebuilt the second temple, the emphasis on Torah, okay, because Torah is what God gave us that we can study here in this life, but it played down the idea of theophany.
Right, and those are the first five books.
Yeah, Torah, but within them, you do have these theophanies, which makes it uncomfortable. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Because how can a transcendent God come down into the form of a man, right? And now, the problem here is this. How can Jacob be winning over God?
Right.
Right? That is a big problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if he beats God, that's blasphemy.
Right. Then Jacob is more powerful than God.
That's right. But if God beats Jacob, so what? We all expect that.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
It's the enigma that is given to us here perfectly and wonderfully in the problem of this text.
Yep. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
That's right. But if God beats Jacob, so what? We all expect that.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
It's the enigma that is given to us here perfectly and wonderfully in the problem of this text.
Yep.
And the text wants to leave us with that enigma.
See, I want to solve it. I get you. I get what you're saying. But I want to solve the problem. I want to say, well, this is simple. God just decided to lower his power so that Jacob would be even with him or be beating him.
I mean, that's God's decision. God can decide to do that.
Right. And you might think of God's toying with him, but...
Yes, right.
But he seems to be pretty respectful of Jacob in this whole thing, doesn't he?
Sure, yeah. He ends up...
Right, right. Yeah. And he said, "Your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven." And that word striven, sarah in Hebrew, is... I think it's a hapax, again, one of those things that happens only once. Its root actually goes to Isaiah chapter 9, which has to do with ruling.
Okay.
Of mastery. And so what we have here is, I guess you would call, a divinization moment.
I see.
Because Jacob, now Israel, has fought with God, been in close contact with God. His name is changed. It's a cosmic event because Israel now becomes a nation that now will always be there in the face of the whole world this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cosmic event. And it comes off divine in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you confront God, when you touch God, when you see God, you become what you see, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, when Moses came off the mount, he was divinized because he was all shiny, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because he was in the presence of God, the holy, right?
Mm-hmm. It's so weird because another problem for me in the story is that this is not the guy that you would think God's going to bless like this.
In the it's back just... of our mind, you always say, you know, God, you could have gotten someone more auspicious.
Yeah, I mean... Gosh, this is, it doesn't make sense as far as humanity goes. As far as God goes, of course, right. It makes sense, I guess. But
Jacob's every man. He's you and I.
That's right.
And we are made to be divinized.
Yeah.
That is a proper theological concept that you can look in the catechism on, okay?
Yeah, right, right, sure.
I mean, this is radical, right? Radical. So the truth here of what really is being communicated to us, comes to us through this enigma, which is really not ever really answerable. And that is, how can the eternal God, who dwarfs the universe, be this stranger in the night?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and have this wrestling match.
How is it that he genuinely takes us serious enough to fight us, he respects our wills, and by engaging so close...
Yeah.
To a sweating, grunting man fighting for his life, none of this makes sense.
Right. He allows himself to be placed in an embrace, too. Held.
That's right. He allows himself to be held, even to the point where he says, "Let me go."
Yeah. Yeah, let me go. And
there are no
answers. Jacob says,
for this.
No.
right. So all we can do is be left with this enigma and to realize that when you're messing with God,
when you're in conflict,
it's a dangerous, dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But good things happen when you take God seriously.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who we are, how little we might think of ourselves, and no matter what our past is, our failures, whatever, moral, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That God comes close to us.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of coming close to us. And of course, you know where I'm going with this. And that's Jesus on the cross.
Right. Yeah.
It's Jesus incarnate, right?
Yeah.
I said as many times that the disciples, though they knew that Jesus loved them, they're never really comfortable with him. And that's an important point.
Mm-hmm.
Many, or if not most, Christians sort of make Jesus sort of comfortable of their own thinking. But if you look closely at the text, they're often in terror.
Yeah, right. Okay. They don't know what's going to happen. And
going to happen. And what they see is happening is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we're close to Jesus. And they say to themselves, you know, what's going on? I'm glad we're here, but then, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
I'm terrified.
Right.
Because of the mysterium tremendum, the awful majesty of God is associated with close contact.
Yeah.
And so Christianity picks up on these old theophany stories that Judaism has sort of backed its way from.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Judaism emphasizes the transcendence of God, not so much the immanence of God, except for through Torah. Right?
Yeah, right, right, sure.
Whereas Christianity embraces the theophanic reality of God coming in to our lives as one of us. And when we wrestle with Jesus, when we look at and see Jesus with the eyes of our interior, then we become divinized.
Mm-hmm.
We're living on a supernatural plane that's far above and beyond what we naturally can do.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to me too often.
It happens to you all the time, Danny.
I know.
But it does.
It doesn't feel like it.
You're not. Often we feel pretty dopey, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, our sanctification is not for us to say, man, wow, you know, boy, I'm really getting holy, you know.
Yeah. Right.
As soon as you start saying that, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," which means our sanctification, what He does in us, the glory of God in us, is something for other people to enjoy, not for ourselves.
Yes, right. And so that's what happens with Jacob, now Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, he's blessed by God and realizes it.
The blessing is so important. It's a creation motif.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, no. I think we covered these two things enough. It's so enjoyable, isn't it, to think through this stuff and...
It is. Yeah. When we first started doing this, we got over 50 of these now. When we first started doing this, it was not enjoyable for me. It was,
oh, really?
It was hard.
Yeah.
Because I did not look at the scriptures like this. But I think after a bunch of these, I'm really enjoying a lot more digging in to scripture in ways that I hadn't before.
Well, what's happening... And what happened to me when I was studying, you know, under Jewish professors, which I will be eternally, you know, grateful to
for
6 years. So what's happening, Danny, is that there's a shift going on in you.
Yeah.
And that shift is what I call a cosmological shift, a cosmological in the way you view scripture, and even view the world.
Yeah.
And not everybody is willing to undergo that shift. Okay. But I guarantee you, if you're listening to these posts faithfully, then you have given yourself over to, you have given the allowance to be changed.
Right.
And to think completely differently.
Yeah. It's definitely opened me up.
Yeah.
You know, to look at things in a different way.
Right.
Which
right.
is great.
Yeah, another way of, instead of using the word cosmology, it would be, you know, a worldview. All of a sudden, you're starting to embrace a biblical worldview, which you really didn't have before,
right?
Because we're all born, quite frankly, with this Western worldview,
mm-hmm.
which is really quite demystifying and unsatisfactory.
Yeah. Great. Okay, good. Well, thanks for coming in.
God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.